Thank you for seeing me, Miss Jones, she said. Olivia, please, and I'm here whenever you need me, you know that. Kathy nodded and wound a lock of hair around her finger. Hair dyed blonde almost a year ago, dark roots now to her ears. She'd refused to color it again because the dye job had been his idea. The guy who'd left her with those blonde ends, a missing tooth, and another baby in her belly. So, Melanie has been helping you look for a job, I said. How's that going?
Fine.
Her gaze stayed fixed on my chin. It always did, unless she got worked up enough, like when she'd declared unbidden that she wasn't fixing her hair. Brief shows of defiance, achingly brief, frustratingly brief. There was more in that lowered gaze than deference, though. I could sense it, feel it thrumming through the air between us. I began. Joey raced past, wearing a tattered backpack in the shape of an owl. It reminded me of the one that hooted outside my window that morning. A bad omen, if you believed in omens.
Joey, Kathy said, stop running and sit down.
Then to me,
sorry, Miss Jones.
No, he's fine. I was just admiring his backpack. I tore my gaze away. Did the bakery ever give you that reference? She shook her head. I cursed under my breath. Kathy's last job had been at a bakery, owned by the cousin of the man who'd left her pregnant. Her old boss now couldn't seem to recall how good an employee she'd been, and thus sadly couldn't give a reference. I had the name of the bakery in my wallet. More than once, I'd been tempted to help the woman remember Kathy. I had a few ideas for how to accomplish that. It's a satisfying image to contemplate, and it would be so much more feasible if I wasn't Olivia Taylor Jones, daughter of Lena Taylor, renowned Chicago philanthropist, and Arthur Jones, owner of the iconic Mills and Jones department store. But I am, and as such, I have other avenues of attack, equally effective, if somewhat lacking in drama. Let's leave that for now. I'm sure she'll change her mind.
Very sure.
We'll grab a coffee and have a look through job postings. After Kathy left, I flipped through the stack of job printouts. I told myself I was making sure I hadn't missed a suitable one for Kathy, but I was really looking for myself. Pointless, of course, in so many ways. My mother had always expected me to follow her example, marry well, and devote myself to volunteerism and philanthropy, leave paid work for those who need it. Dad had been more amenable to the idea that a young woman in my position could have a career beyond organizing fundraisers. My mother came from money. She was the daughter of minor nobility, raised in English society. Dad had been brought up in the business world, where you were expected to work until you couldn't, or until you had a fatal heart attack at the age of 61, leaving behind a daughter who, 10 months later, couldn't look at your picture without missing you so desperately. It hurt. I always thought I'd work for Dad someday, take over the family business eventually. It didn't matter if the store bored me to tears. I'd be working with him, and that would make him so happy. Except now he was gone, and I couldn't bear to step through the store's front doors. For now, I intended to go back to school in the fall and get my doctorate in Victorian Lit. No idea what I'd use that for in the real world, but it would give me time to figure out what I wanted. I hadn't told my mother my plans. No use stressing her out when her dream was about to come true, her only child married, and married well. As for my fiancé, James, I hadn't told him either. First, I was checking out my options for local schools. Once that was set and before the wedding, I'd tell him. He'd be fine with it. He didn't expect me to sit home and keep house for him. Not unless I wanted to. I most certainly did not want to. When I finished tidying up, I stepped outside the front doors and the city hit me. The screech of tires and growl of engines, the stink of exhaust and the tang of roast pork, the flash of colors, bright shirts, neon signs, blinding blue sky. Our family doctor used to blame my hypersensitivity on my upbringing, raised in a quiet house in the suburbs. But years of city exposure didn't seem to help. I'd walk onto a busy street and every sight, sound, and smell assaulted me, my brain whirring as if trying to make sense of it all. I'd learned to adjust. It was part of my life. Usually it passed in a moment, as it did now. I took a deep breath and headed to the gym.
The photographer stepped back into the shadowy doorway as the young woman approached. Once she was abreast of him, he lifted his camera and held down the shutter button, silently snapping photos. Amazing how much she looked like her mother.